This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 6:04 in the evening. You're with Lynn and Kelvin on the Evening Edition. As promised, it's time for Movers and Shakers. And this time around, we're discussing technical and vocational education and training in the country, or TVET. Joining us in the studio is technologist Dr. Mohammad Naim Yaqub, Acting Director General at the Department of Polytechnic and Community College Education at the Ministry of Education. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for the invite. Thank you for having me here today.
So again, if you have any questions at all for Dr. Naim, do call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. It is about TVET. It's a topic that traditionally gets kind of, you know, very interesting thoughts and reactions. So do send them our way. So to start us off, could you perhaps explain the different routes that students can take when it comes to TVET education, beginning from secondary school?
Certainly. But I can start with primary, actually. There is, at year four, we have this subject called Recommended Technology, where it introduces kids to, you know, about things, how things work and how mechanisms work. In the area of technology. And they continue up to year four, five and six. And when they go to the secondary level in forms one, two and three, they can continue taking this recommended technology. So that's where the early secondary TVET introduction is. And further down the road at forms four and five, aged 16 and 17, they have several options. One is to take this, what we say, the vocational colleges, where they enter this program that will end up them after 2 years taking the CGL Vocational Malaysia. And after that, if they are successful, they can still continue further 2 more years with the Diploma of Vocational Malaysia. Back to the situation after the PT3, Penilaian Tahap 3, for those who are clearly not academically inclined, you know, their abilities and their interests have shown that they are clearly not learning into abstract things, into algebra, trigonometry. They are into practical, you know, hands-on things. There's a program called PIMA, Program Industri Menengah Atas, where they will be placed as apprentice in the industries. And as they work through, they also learn only to take 3 subjects for SPM, the Bahasa Melayu, Bahasa Inggeris and Sejarah. There's another program yet called Program Vocational Menengah Atas. Same for the students who do not really have interest much more in academic, they can take these other options. So these are, and yet there's another one, Sekolah Menengah Teknik, 9 of them in Malaysia. These are the people who actually have ambition to become engineers, for example, or accountants, and they want to have a head start in these TVET courses. So they go into the technical secondary schools and they will go on and take the SPM, but they have additional subjects like what we call it engineering drawing, and they go into these workshops and labs and do these hands-on things. So when they are successful there at the SPM and they go into matriculation or even the foundation program in the universities, they already have a head start that the academically route students do not have a chance to go what they have experienced. So those are the TVET introduction at the late primary and early secondary schools.
So what makes someone a good candidate for TVET? You know, you mentioned a lot about the fact that maybe someone's not so academically inclined or so much for abstract ideas that perhaps the traditional education course might take you. What else makes a good TVET candidate?
Yeah, if they like to work with things, you know, they are not like working on paper. They need to have their hands on things and work on projects, you know, and work on teams. So this is a good route for them. I've experienced a case where one of our banks, you know, they employ these polytechnic interns, and the assignment that the bank used to give to the degree holders, like selling bank products, insurance, you know, and all kind of stuff. But the polytechnic interns did perform better because they are into more meeting with people, have more like empathy with people. So these are good candidates for TVET, as you ask.
Now, as we said earlier, if you have any questions, that number is 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We already have some questions coming through. And first up on the line, we have Alia. Alia, good evening. What are your... Oh, we do not have Alia. Although we do have her question, and it's the fact that some rural schools may not be able to afford, I think... to implement this program in full or to implement it in the way that they would want to, how can we get around this?
Okay. One way is at the upper secondary level, forms 4 and 5, there is boarding technical secondary schools. You know, people from all geographic areas can come and they have given hostels. That's where they can really learn the real stuff. But at the other places, I'm thinking even about the mobile TVET lab. Something like a mobile library, which have not been introduced, but I think it should be to allow students at least once a week or once a fortnight to have their hands on the things that they like to do. So this is one way we can bring. Of course, the other one is, you know, computer simulations could be one way, but it's not the same as the real stuff. But at least they can have an idea of how things work and so on.
So I'm curious about the fact that you said it starts from the from Standard 4. And to me, it seems like it's a little bit early for parents to say, okay, you know what, you're not so great academically, so I'm going to put you into TVET when you're about 10 years old. Mm-hmm. Well, for normal... the normal route is that you only kind of start taking a more specialist route when you are, say, in Form 4, when you go to the science or art stream. So what is going through the minds of parents when they choose to send their kids into the TVET program starting from ages 10 and above?
Oh, that's not yet specialization. Right. In fact, that's introduction. In fact, there's always a way out. If they are after from even year 4, 5, 6, you know, when they go to the Form 1, they can just opt out of that program.
Right.
So this is better to give them the option, the close-up to what the program is, and it's not committal for them to go through that. But it's important for them to have the options and not just listening about it or know about it, but really experience it early. So if they like it, they continue. If not, they can do other stuff.
So we have a question here from WhatsApp from Faisal, who says, what's the difference between vocational training in Malaysia compared to Singapore's ITE institution?
Okay. Well, first, the different magnitude of the two countries. You know, Singapore is about 5 million people and we have about maybe 32 million. So it's more manageable over there in Singapore. ITE, Institute of Technical Education, focus on the certificate level, and they have take the, they call it NITEC, National ITE Certificate. And then after that, they can either opt out to work or continue to the polytechnics in Singapore. In Malaysia, you cannot really compare that like apples to apples. It's a bit different system here. As I mentioned, if they go into schools at the upper secondary, at the Forms 4 and 5, but after that, after Form 5, after SPM, if they can have the options to go, because just now we talk only at the secondary level, but post-secondary-wise, they have the options to go, for example, to polytechnics, a three-year diploma, or a two-year community college certificate. And because there's about maybe 7 ministries in Malaysia offering TVET, they have other TVET institutions to apply for, like the Industrial Training Institute, or ILP, under the Ministry of Human Resources. They also have the Mara Institute, IKM, Giat Mara. They have the Institut Kemahiran Belia Negara, Institut Kemahiran Tinggi Belia Negara. Yet they have so many other, like, agriculture courses. So that's not really compare. There's no real comparison, you know. But we know that ITE, actually, what they have transformed is they have transformed the vocational into something that parents want to know by building these good buildings that look like they are equipped well with those equipment. And when you as parents walk by the IT in Singapore, you will feel you want to have your students study there. So that image of a good institution with, you know, yet properly filled with equipments and all, compared to a building which is shoddy and, you know, with lapidated equipment. So this is the image. This is where the IT has managed to uplift the image of TVET and make it a choice. And they have a very high employability rate, as well as Malaysia's too. We have quite high employability rate among our TVET graduates.
So we're going to be exploring that idea of perception and image, I think, in more detail in just a bit. We do, however, have Toby on the line who has a question. Toby, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi. I'm just wondering, will an aptitude test be conducted on students when they're young to determine if they are, they would be would benefit from joining TVET?
Toby, thanks for the question. Dr. Naim?
Is that attitude?
Aptitude.
Aptitude, yeah. Mm. Well, definitely, you know, there are scientific tests to kind of measure to what extent your inclination is, psychometric tests and all. And now with the power of computing and artificial intelligence, if you track the record of the students in terms of their abilities and their interests and their, you know, involvement in co-curricular activities, their tendencies, we can store this information in the database, and as they progress through the primary years and secondary years, you have this rich, you know, information and data on them. So at the end, the ideal is that maybe after SPM, the system in a way can propose to the particular student, this is your ability, this is your inclination, your interest. These are the type of programs you can choose for further education. If you want to work, these are the kind of job that suits you, and these are the kind of pay you will get, and these are kind of companies and industry and their location. So now there's no stopping technology in terms of artificial intelligence to really have the rich information given to you. The aptitude tests and all are a little bit old school, but now we should tap on real, you know, real-time information through digital information for that.
We're discussing technical and vocational education and training in our country today, or specifically TVET. With us is technologist Dr. Mohamed Naim Yaqub, who's also the acting DG at the Department of Polytechnic and Community College Education. Up next, we're going to be talking about how a TVET course might differ from, say, a diploma or a degree. We're also going to be talking about that issue of perception, which is very real and pressing.
Sure.
If you have any questions, do call us, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
Good evening. You're listening to Lynn and Kelvin today, and it is Movers and Shakers, where it really is your show in many ways. We want to answer the questions that you want to ask. With us is technologist Dr. Mohamed Naim Yaqub, who's the acting DG at the Department of Polytechnic and Community College Education at the MOE, and we're talking about TVET, Technical and Vocational Education and Training in our country. So I think before we get to some of the questions that have come in via WhatsApp, we do have to ask, I mean, what does a TVET course encompass, and how might it differ from, let's say, you know, let's look at landscape design. How might a landscape design course in a vocational college differ from a diploma or a degree in landscape architecture?
Okay. This thing called the Malaysian Qualifications Framework, you know, monitored by the Malaysian Qualifications Agency. For all courses and programs, there are 8 levels, starting with certificates 1, 2, 3. Level 4 is diploma. Level 5, advanced diploma. Level 6, degree. 7 is master's. 8 is PhD. So all programs that wants to be accredited by this MQA needs to follow these 7 levels. So a diploma, as you mentioned, if there's a diploma in landscape design, you know, and compared to diploma in landscape architecture, there's this thing called learning outcome. So what is your main learning outcome from this particular program? If you want that students to graduate with ability in designing, you call it diploma in design. If you want it to be more architecture, you call it diploma architecture. Then it comes into credit hours. So all diploma programs must have at least 90 credit hours. And they must have this thing called student learning time. And this student learning time is a very systematic way of calculating what will be the workload for the student for a course within a program. You know, the way we coin terms is that a diploma in architecture is a program. Under that program, there are many courses. Used to be the program is called course, and under that course, there are many subjects. So now it's called program and courses. And this every course has a credit hour attached to it. So the more difficult, the more time-consuming, and the more things that a student needs to do in order to do well in that particular course, the higher the credit hour. So for a diploma, it's minimum 90 credit hours. And the name, it depends on what the learning outcome that you like the students to have. But in the end, it will have to be approved by the Malaysian Qualifications Agency. In the beginning, before you start the program, you submit your application for what they say, provisional accreditation. And before the first batch of your graduates come out, you will apply for full accreditation. So that's the difference between the diploma and a degree. And a certificate needs only 60 credit hours, diploma 90, and degree 120 credits. And the name depends on the learning outcome. And also inside there, there's this thing called the body of knowledge. If you're into more designing, call it design. If you're more into like construction, call it construction. And the qualifications agency will come and check. Let's say your learning outcome is for students to make shoes, but they only design the shoes. They do not produce any shoe. So you will not get the accreditation. So it depends on what the learning outcome of your students want to be.
Dr. Naim, let's talk about perception. We have a question here from Zaidi that says, TVET graduates are respectfully regarded as second class compared with non-TVET graduates. How can we change this perception? You know, for example, it is a case where there are ideas out there that it's only for students who don't perform well academically, or it leads to low-paying jobs with little advancement. So how can we fix that perception issue?
Yeah, everything is almost, you know, undoubtedly connected to salary and income. People look at that. If you look at some of the qualifications, for example, Microsoft Network Engineer, it's not a degree needing job, but those who work as a Microsoft Network Engineer earns very high. Pilots, not all pilots need to have a degree. People look up at pilots because the way they dress, you know, the importance of their work, even though without a bachelor's degree, and the kind of income they earn. So these are the factors that now TVET, unfortunately, are not enjoying. Plus, we see that the influx of cheap foreign labor in the what they so-called TVET sector. Actually, in terms of the occupational hierarchy, start with a professional. Below that are what we call associate professional. And yet below that are mainly, you know, semi-skilled. And below that are manual workers. So the intention of Malaysia should be like, if jobs that are considered to be like 3D jobs, dirty, difficult, dangerous, and low-paying 3D jobs, these are actually, we don't design them for locals. We fail if we design them for locals. We want our Malaysians to have a decent wage, a decent earnings that needs, you know, a certain decent level of qualifications. So the thing is, everybody wants a good job, a high-paying job. And they look into universities. Of course, the Form 6 and then immatriculation as a route to higher degrees, bachelor's degrees, that they think will earn them well, which is true for engineers, doctors, lawyers, you know, accountants earn relatively higher than others. But the number of them flocking into these programs are so many compared to available jobs. If you remember, Bank Negara Malaysia, in its 2018 report, mentioned for the last 10 years, on average, the output of all these degree and diploma courses are about 174,000 yearly. Yet, net jobs created is only 98,000. So where is the balance? What are they doing? So, but in TVET sector, that's where the jobs are. For every engineer, you need a few engineering assistants. Diploma level. For every engineering assistant, you need a few technicians, only certificate level. So it's like a pyramid, but it's not an upright pyramid. It's more like a barrel shape. But in the middle, that's where the jobs are aplenty. So the advantage of choosing TVET is that the likelihood is that you'll get a job, even though not high paying as the professional in the beginning. As you progress along your career, as you gain the experience, as you acquire professional certification, you'll be aptly rewarded. You'll be highly regarded by your employer. The employer will not let you go. He will offer better paying job, a better, higher salary to keep you. So we should not look at it as just a snapshot, you know, 6 months after graduation, but a whole lifetime career.
So, but is this going to be an issue then of changing a mindset over a generation? Because as you say, you know, there are very clear lines where, and there are very clear benefits to doing these courses, to entering these spaces where there is money to be made, there are jobs to be had. And yet that second class, you know, perception continues in some cases, especially I think for people who did grow up thinking the only path is with a university. Yeah. So is it going to be something that we have to change over a generation? Is it going to take a decade?
Yeah, we can't wait a decade. You know, we have to move fast. We have done a lot, but a lot is still not enough. We have to really work harder, go to places we've not been before. You know, I'm glad BFM has called me to this kind of program talking about TVET. We should do this more often with other radio and broadcast channels, and whether it's printed or, you know, digital media. So we are, you know, trying to promote and propagating TVET, but we need to do more, and we need to use you know, technology like artificial intelligence, big data, to really show people, you know, this is one area that is have high potential for students that will please their parents and the community.
So we have a question here from Yvonne that asks, some have the opinion that TVET could replace the 3D jobs held by foreign workers to be more skills-heavy industry. But the salary in these industries are not very attractive for TVET students. What are your opinions on this?
Yeah, well, employers will pay employees good pay if they have skills that are not easily acquired or searched or found, you know. It's about supply and demand, just like commodities. If you have plenty of that stuff, then the price will go down, like your skills. So have skills that are not easily found and do not only depend on qualifications that you obtain formally through schools or to TVET institutions. I would like to cite a case of one polytechnic diploma graduate. It's a graduate of maintenance repair overhaul. But he doesn't stop there. Maybe he will work in that field for a while, but he keep continuing getting professional certification in terms of non-destructive testing, just to say as an example. So through ultrasound method, through X-ray method, non-destructive testing. So much so that now companies are calling that person to do this NDT testing and paying him well for that. So now he left his job. He is now a freelance NDT tester. And he is earning 25,000 on average a month. So we need this kind of looking beyond just formal qualification. Think of what industry and the employees need, you know, that will get you a good paying job.
We're talking today about TVET, which is Technical and Vocational Education and Training. It's one that we've been talking about for quite some time, this idea of how to improve it, how to make it better, how to make it attractive. And we're trying to address all that today, but we also want to hear from you. If you have any questions, you can call us 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can, of course, also tweet us at BFM Radio. We've already received some questions via WhatsApp, which we will get to. And keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Building fit Malaysians, BFM 89.9.
It's 6:35. Good evening. You're with Lynn and Kelvin, as well as live in the studio with us, technologist Dr. Mohamed Naim Yaakob, acting DG at the Department of Polytechnic and Community College Education at the MOE. We're talking today about Technical and Vocational Education and Training, or TVET. So, before we get going again, just a quick reminder, if you have any questions, that number to call is 7733 2900. You can also WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a comment here from Sharul Akma, who says, when it comes to changing the mindset, not everything should be equated to monetary gain and high salary. Dr. Naim, how would you respond?
Well, there's truth in it. You know, it's about job satisfaction and fulfilling your interests and all. Yeah, you know, as they say in Malay, you know, duit bukan semuanya, tapi semua perlukan duit. Something like that. So, but I do appreciate, you know, people who really follow their passion, whether it's in arts, you know. But again, more often than not, is your means of livelihood will be a very crucial factor in how you move forward in your life.
Yeah. And on the line with us right now is Mukhtar. Mukhtar, good evening. What are your thoughts?
I would just like to ask the gentleman, would it be more interesting for the students teaching in these colleges? If the medium of teaching is English, would it not that be more interesting, more acceptable?
Thank you very much for your question. So, is there going to be, would teaching in English make it more attractive?
Because of the, I would say, prevalence of the language, especially in the technical and scientific circles, you know, the terms and the resources available, whether it's offline or online, are mainly English. And Malaysia would do, I think, good if they choose their route too. But when we do that, we are not undermining the national language, the Bahasa Melayu, Bahasa Malaysia. That's also important for national unity, for the identity of the country. But, you know, that having a second language, a third language also, is also something that value add a lot of value to what your credentials are and your ability. So I would say, in a way, it would give you a hands up, a heads up, you know, learning in English about all those technical stuff. And a lot of the manuals are in English, definitely. Your high-tech stuff, your automobile, your car, your machinery, you know. So it'd be good to and we do, in our, especially in the polytechnics, try to, as much as possible, have students do what we say bilingual approach.
We have a question here from David that says TVET jobs like plumbing and gas fitters in the UK have far better pay than graduates. Why are wages here this is an add-on, like, why are wages here seemingly low for TVET graduates, or is that just a perception?
Well, it's true. If you compare UK, Europe, America, you know, yeah, those jobs you mentioned, plumbing, you know, gas fitters and electrical wireman, they're not as paying here. This is not only perception, this is what we need to change. And to change this, the government can always prod on the industry, you know, encourage them. But it's always the employers and the industry. In trying to balance between profit and loss versus giving good pay for workers, you know, this is what industry need to, I think, take cognizance. I think that once you, it's like a virtuous cycle. If you get in people with good qualifications and you pay them decently, hopefully they will be more productive, and it benefits the companies and the employers, which have more profit, hopefully. And this is a vicious cycle that you would like to have. Unfortunately, there is evidence, and we've been seeing for the last a decade or so, the tendency to get cheap foreign labor. With that abundance of cheap foreign labor from nearby countries, the urge or the necessity to automate, to have more high-tech processes into their processes of production is not there. As long as the availability of cheap foreign labor is there, then it kind of let the industry in a comfort zone. It's always available, you know. So that's where the situation for Malaysia. And somehow, you know, what government policies have done is to impose, for example, double levy if they take foreign labor. But again, the federations and the organizations or employers against it, and they will say that they will pass down the extra cost to the consumers. So we need somehow to find a way how to, you know, kind of encourage and the employers feel, industry feel, there's a need to uplift the pay scale of Malaysians. You know, government can give the guide for that kind of qualifications with what the government jobs are. But again, industry have a choice. If they advertise an occupation, a job, and there's so many people applying for it, and there's about supply and demand again. If you do not want, then there'll be 100 people queuing up for it. And again, they call it now is the employer's market. So, but in the long run, where will it lead to? You know, low-paying jobs, and it's kind of, we're creating jobs for foreigners. So we need also to do that for our local Malaysians.
So your agency's observation is that because employers are not willing to invest in tech that might make them more productive, which also then leads to a higher demand of higher skills and higher skilled jobs, that we are stuck in this place where we just have low quality, low paying jobs. So bad jobs, essentially.
Yes. And we definitely need to change that somehow.
We also have an anonymous message here from WhatsApp saying, "Hi, my son is in Form 3 now and will be sitting for the PT3 exams. What are the minimum criteria in terms of the PT3 results for TVET programs, you know, when you're going on to Form 4 and 5 or as a 16 or 17-year-old?
Okay, after PT3, if you want to go into TVET, if you have like a good result with several credits in sciences and mathematics, you can choose the vocational colleges. Start with the CJL Vocational Malaysia for 2 years up to Form 5. And if you continue to be successful, you can continue. You can exit the school, go into polytechnics, or you can continue into the vocational colleges at the diploma level. After which, you have a choice either to work or to further study or to become entrepreneur. It doesn't take too much of a qualification to enter the vocational colleges, several credits here and there, especially in the mathematics and sciences.
And our next message here comes from Jesse, a question rather. Can working adults join TVET courses as well if you're interested?
Okay. There is a few kind of institutions that cater for adults, like community colleges. On weekends, they offer course like bakery, culinary, anything that you are interested in for hobby or as a means to be an entrepreneur, you know, the community colleges. The other one is the Pusat Giat Mara. You can do that too. So these are all available all over the country. So you can still, there's no age limit actually for that.
And now we have a caller on the line. Good evening, Robert. What's your question?
Hello, good evening. Now, many of our mechanics, plumbers, wiremen, and so on, are not TVET graduates. In fact, they are, most of them are school drops out. They're not really educated, but they're very skillful in their profession. How do they obtain the skill?
Okay. Thank you so much for calling, Robert. Dr. Naim, what do you think?
If they want to formalize their qualification, as I mentioned, there's a route called APEL. Accreditation of prior experiential learning. Collect all the evidence that they have. They will be tested. They will be tested on a certain things that they should be able to do on a certain machinery, equipment, and the skills that they have. For example, how do you troubleshoot a faulty car engine? And in how much time can you do that? So once they pass that, they will be given the proper certification, whether diploma or the Malaysian Skills Certification. So they can do that. Now, the reason why we have mechanics and electrical wiremen and plumbers who do not have formal qualification, yet they learn on the job. You see, this is what we want to try to avoid. We want to avoid people doing trial and error. Who knows, the car that you try to repair, you know, you might cause some fault to the brake, this and so on. We want them, before they even touch the customer's car or refrigerator or piping system, you know, they have enough training and they have been tested such that they can do that. And then you want to license them or certify them. So if you want to work on a car engine, you must be, for example, a mechanic certified by a certain authority. For example, Suruhanjaya Tenaga Energy Commission certifies electrical wiremen. So even before you can touch any cabling, you need to undergo their test and be called a wireman, a pendawa electric, and then only you can work there, which is a good job actually. So we have to need, we need more and more of such certifications such that the image also will rise, because people see that these are not just your students who just drop out of schools and they just work on a car garage under the tree and they work their way through trial and error. No, it has to be something formal, something being tested on their skills and get a proper certification. So that will uplift the image of TVET in a way.
We're speaking today about technical and vocational education and training, or TVET. In the studio with us is technologist Dr. Mohamed Naim Yaacob, acting DG at the Department of Polytechnic and Community College Education. If you have any questions about TVET, about vocational training, call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:48 and you're with Lynn and Kelvin on the Evening Edition. Live in the studio with us is Dr. Mohamed Naim Yaacob, acting DG at the Department of Polytechnic and Community College Education at the MOE. We're talking today about technical and vocational education and training, or TVET. So we've been asking you for your questions. You can call 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Just looking through the last few of the questions that have come through recently. So Alia points out, I think, something pretty interesting. More often than not, when it comes to awareness of opportunities, when it comes to TVET, parents are the ones who need to be educated first. What is the department's plan to target the parents for awareness creation?
Okay, very good point there. We've been doing this every year. Different zones in Malaysia, 6 zones, Sabah, Sarawak, south, north, east and west of Malaysia. Just about before the SPM results are released, we have this carnival called Jom Masuk IPT. In fact, it means Jom Sambung Belajar, actually. So there, we have booths of all the TVET and higher degree provider, university, everything is there. And we invite a public to come. And we have talk sessions. And we have a meeting with graduates of these institutions, job opportunities, you know, pay scale and everything. A few times we have invited the school counselors. Parents are always there, the school children, principals, to tell them of all the possible opportunities, all options. When I'm talking about TVET, I'm not just championing TVET per se and undermining the rest. Higher education is important for the country's development, but this less travel road, TVET, you know, and people are flocking to where the jobs are, but not that plenty, but people are not going to where the jobs are. And in the long term, after your initial training, you know, even though you have a diploma or certificate, as I mentioned earlier, you know, it's not going to be another maybe 30, 35 years down the road in your career. So many things are going to happen. Technology will change. What you have learned will change, you know. This is where you need to get more, what we say, continuous training, lifelong learning. So for parents, you know, do not see only, you know, the short term. Because the future for the child will be the next 35, 40 years, not only the next 1 year or so. You know, having the degree or even the diploma is not the be-all and end-all. They have to actually develop their child or their children to be, you know, lifelong learners. People who are, you know, problem solvers. People who are team workers. Then it will go further. Otherwise, they will be just stuck in one job and they will be frustrated throughout their career if they only have a very short-term view of things.
So Education Minister Dr. Mazli Malik is heading the TVET Empowerment Committee, which, according to the minister, sets out to review TVET-related issues thoroughly and to devise a new strategy to strengthen TVET. What's the approach taken in that task?
Yeah, we've taken stock of what we have now. The numbers, number of students, employability rate. We've also taken into account consultant reports from, for example, Boston Consulting Group, Malaysian Consulting Group, PricewaterhouseCoopers, and see what they have found, what are their recommendations, and why are these not being implemented yet. So we take care of that. And we still, because things have changed, we go to the ground. Through town hall sessions, we meet and greet people from all walks of life, public, TVET providers, industry, school children, teachers, counselors, principals, and they come and tell us. At the moment, there's 5 themes that emerge. One is that because of the many TVET providers, needs to be more well-coordinated. So there's issue of governance or tadbir urus. Second one is industry participation. Difficult yet so important. this is what we are grasping in, you know, thin air. Yes, industry have been cooperative, but how do we get a representation that tells us this is the next way 5 years down the road? You know, is it going to be like more natural resources to be the mainstay of Malaysia's economy? Is it going to be like manufacturing? And then what about technology? If we train people for, let's say, fourth industrial revolution, and they are ready, but industry is not ready, you know? So chicken and egg. So now we have to, like, prepare our graduates for all kinds of level of industry. Some are still in the second revolution automation. Some are already, you know, very advanced. And that's two, this governance, industry participation. The third one is quality. So we need to improve the quality of the program, quality of our instructors, quality of our students, and so on. And then the next one will be what we say, the funding. Nowadays, because of the, you know, increasing demands against diminishing resources. So public sector, government cannot alone fund TVET programs. We need industry to come in. Used to be partnership, but if we can have co-ownership by industry, from the beginning, they jointly developed the curriculum, and they determine what will be the supply and demand in the next 4 or 5 years. And we can decide then how many to take now, and we shall have industry people to come and teach in the TVET institutions, and TVET instructors go and attach themselves to industry. So that way we need to do. So the last one is we have to have what we say rebranding of TVET to make it more attractive, to tell the good stories. It's not that 3D job that pay low, with little career advancement. In TVET, there's one route, which is like if after SPM, you take a diploma, for example, you go to find a job, you get a job, you're unlikely to get it, you're likely to get a job than, for example, an unpopular degree program. And then with that, you have a means of living. And then after several years, you can further study, you chase your dream of getting a degree, either through what you have raised through your, you know, savings from your work, or your employer can, you know, fund you. So that gives you less reliance on your PTPT and so on. So that's a very, kind of a very commendable and acceptable route.
And just very, very quickly, because we don't have much time left, we do have a caller on the line. Shankar, good evening. What's your question?
Good evening. I would like to congratulate the gentleman on his sense and sensibilities on the topic. I think he's eloquent. I just would like to ask take on Industry 4.0 versus TVET. I'm of the opinion that Industry 4.0 is going to displace a lot of jobs, but it cannot displace manual skills, at least for a while yet. And I would like to find out what are the ministry's efforts and his efforts in doing this. And thank you very much. I'll listen to it over the air.
Thank you so much for that call, Shankar. Dr. Naim, your thoughts?
Yeah, thank you for that question. I think it's a very relevant question. You know this IKEA factory that makes furnitures? It's called a dark factory, where there are not many people as robots are. So they're more robots than people. They have, but they are doing that because they don't have enough people, aging society. But Malaysia, as a 32 million population with demographic dividend, we have still a useful population. Plus, surrounding populous countries, this is one of the reasons that we still rely on labor-intensive industry. But taking cognizance of in future what will happen, for example, in accountancy program, we have introduced green environment accounting for, let's say, banking and finance, crowdfunding, fintech, e-sharia, retail management. We have introduced cloud-based point-of-sale systems, e-tailing, green retailing. For marketing, we have digital marketing plan introduced in the programs, technology and digital payment, mobile application, e-commerce, blockchain, green logistics, and so on and so forth. So we are doing it, embedding new technologies into present curriculum. as they say, this fourth industrial revolution will be very disruptive. Jobs will change, but jobs will not diminish. There will be more jobs, but jobs of a different nature. For example, maintaining the computer servers that run these programs, you know, coding people that change from time to time. So a person graduating from TVET institution, also from degree programs, need to be a lifelong learner. They need to continually learning, be adaptive and adopt themselves to what is changing. So change is the only constant.
Dr. Naim, thank you so much for joining
thank
us
you.
Today.
It's my pleasure.
That was technologist Dr. Mohammad Naim Yaqub, Acting Director General at the Department of Polytechnic and Community College Education at the Ministry of Education, talking to us today about TVET, or Technical and Vocational Education and Training, and really the path forward for it. If you have any questions, do send them through still, I think. We might follow this up. Mm-hmm. Again, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. This is the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.